Hi, this is Gus Monsanto from Human Fortress, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives. I am the hunter!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another interview of Sonic Perspectives. I'm Rodrigo, and today I'll have the pleasure of interviewing someone I can really call a longtime friend from Human Fortress, Mr. Gus Monsanto. How are you, Gus?
Hey, Rodrigo, what's up, my brother? It's been a year since we last saw each other.
Absolutely. And
I'm a poet. I just don't know it.
Yeah. And this has been a long time in the works, this interview, and it's going to be kind of weird to talk with you in English, but we'll give it our best shot, right?
We'll do it. We'll survive it.
Yeah. And just so our listeners know, we met almost 30 years ago at a record store. And I think
that's a funny story, man.
Yeah. We bonded over our disdain for Pink Floyd at the time. Do you still think that way?
And the funny thing is actually both of us because we were both from the town where I still live in Brazil. Yeah. And we were at the record store, and then I just said something like, I hate Pink Floyd. And he just looked at me like, come on, man, it's not possible. Do you hate Pink Floyd for real? And then we became friends over that. And the funny thing is that we both got older and we like Pink Floyd now.
Yeah.
You know, at least our friendship, you know, lasted all these years, thankfully.
Absolutely.
You know, in spite of that.
Yeah. But, over the years, you've been my music sommelier for like a number of years, giving me a bunch of albums. And here we are now in different sides, right? Yeah.
Amazing. We lived like a couple of blocks from each other, and we meet on weekends and swap records and, you know, just bullshit about music. And actually, we've been doing that over a number of years, and it's always a pleasure talking to you, my brother.
For sure. Same here. But let's get down to business, man. Tell me about the new Human Fortress album, Epic Tales and Untold Stories.
Yeah, it's super exciting to have it released. We're now with Massacre Records after three albums with AFM. And Massacre Records was Human Fortress's original label. And when we did the last album, Rain of Gold, we recorded something like 17 or 18 tracks. I'm not too sure. And we had we picked like each of the six members picked their favorite songs. A lot of my favorites didn't make Rain of Gold, because it's funny, because if I tell you guys that it's leftover tunes from the previous album, people are going to think, oh, no, it's probably lesser songs, and they just wanted to, you know, put that together. It's just that, honestly, man, I'm so happy that this is coming out, because some of my favorite songs ever with Human Fortress are on Untold Stories. Untold Stories is because, of course, it's new songs, stuff people haven't heard yet. And as for Epic Tales, at first we were going to release these tunes as an EP, and it was kind of too long already for an EP, like 35 minutes. I mean, it's the running time as most classic records like Van Halen or Kiss or Slayer, Rain in Blood, I don't know. Then we decided to have like a compilation, because the band is actually having its 20th anniversary right now. Okay. So it would be cool, man, to have like a double album. One album has new tunes, and the second album maybe it's like a bunch of our favorite songs. Like it's a, I mean, for people who don't know Human Fortress, what the band is about, I think that's a great, great, great introduction. It's a great starting point. So I really hope we have more new albums after, you know, the pandemic is over and that things kind of get back on track, you know, because I've been working with the guys. It's been almost 10 years because they had a previous singer, which is well represented on the compilation. Mm-hmm. Gladly, because he was amazing. He is amazing, Yachty. But I mean, it's really cool because we have the two phases, you know, the two singers represented on the album. So it's all good.
Right. And it's the first album of yours that came out on vinyl. I bet you're excited about that too, right?
Not really. It's the first Human Fortress album ever on vinyl.
Yeah.
But yeah, my first band was out on vinyl, man. It was independent. And it's funny because it came out during the mid 90s, and when the record label was telling me that it was going to be released on cassette and vinyl, I'm like, what for? And, you know, nowadays I'm just so glad that I had my first ever album released on cassette and vinyl then, you know.
Crazy.
But now it's great. Our vinyl version is, the album is coming out on red vinyl, which looks beautiful, and black vinyl. So.
Wow, cool. I think the cover, the color scheme of the cover reminded me a bit of Clockwork Angels by Rush. It's got that deep red thing.
Oh, yeah, the color. Yeah. Clockwork Angels, man. That's good. I love that album.
Yeah.
And but the color makes me think of that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're both Rush fans.
Yes.
And the other day was the first time I realized the hands of the clock were like 21:12.
Yeah, 9:12 p.m., right?
9:12, yeah. And it's weird because I have that album for like since it came out. And
yeah.
I never realized that. So
yeah, those crazy, you know, nuggets of Rush.
Yeah, of Rush, man.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. And you recorded the album during the pandemic. How did that influence the end result?
Not really, man. Because I'm doing a lot of recording over the pandemic. I've recorded other albums, but this one actually was recorded before the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Because, as I told you, I went to Germany to work with this amazing team of producers. We worked with two producers on this album. One was Tommy Newton, who was done, man. Cool. You know, Keeper of the Seven Keys and a whole bunch of UFO albums and Ark, Burn the Sun. He's produced killer albums. And also Michael Borman, who is a killer singer-producer, who's worked with Jaded Heart, Bonfire, and a bunch of great bands. And it was so, that's why I told you we had like a bunch of tracks we recorded. I went to Germany twice to record all those songs. So it was good, man. We had like a big catalog of new songs. We had all that worked out before the pandemic hit.
Cool. Tommy Newton, you mentioned Keeper of the Seven Keys. That's like the benchmark of power metal, right? He's done so many albums. Jesus. Insane.
And I mean, as a singer going out there, and when you look at the mixing board and you realize that guy has recorded, I don't know,
Michael Kiske
and Jorn Land, Paul Shortino, who's like a brilliant singer.
Glenn Hughes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did Return of Crystal Karma, one of Glenn's best albums.
Come on. Yeah, because actually Glenn's manager used to be in a band with them called Victory.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guitar player. Yeah. He was the guitar player in Victory for many years. So I had a blast working with these two guys, man. It was just like I learned so much, and it was awesome.
Cool. So tell me about the song The Grimoire, which is, I think it's something new in your career with so much in-your-face power metal elements, right?
It's funny because the power metal thing, even if I worked with Timo Tolkki with Revolution Renaissance, did a couple of albums with them, I was not actually big into that power metal scene, like Stratovarius and Blind Guardian and all those guys. I was big into Maiden, of course, and Halloween, Keeper of the Seven Keys was huge. And when I got to work with Human Fortress, it was cool, man, because it brought a lot of that attitude back. Human Fortress has all these medieval influences, so
yeah,
that was it's interesting for me because I think that a good singer is very much like a good actor, man. It's all about the storytelling. You have to be like, come on, man, we come from Brazil.
Yeah.
If you think about it, our country was discovered in 1500.
Yeah.
All the things that these guys have on their background and on their backyard and their surroundings, you know, all the churches and legends and stories and Templars. Yeah, man. It's not really on our DNA. And
no.
So you have to really get in that state of mind. It's like an actor, man. When you go sing a song like, you know, Dark Knight on the album, which actually is one of the favorite vocals I ever recorded. It's like you have to really portray like a horseman, you know, getting into battle and going for it. And we're from Brazil, you know, tropical, sunny and stuff. So
shorts.
Shorts and everything. So it's a good challenge. It's a good challenge.
Cool. And the second one, Disappear in Dark Shadows, I think it's one that stands out because there's a little bit of hard rock in that song. Am I right?
Yeah. It's funny because we're six guys in the band with different backgrounds. I'm really into hard rock. Todd Wolf, the guitar player, he's really into hard rock. So, of course, that eventually comes to the surface. Disappear in Dark Shadows was one of those moments where it happened.
Yeah. And Free is incredible, too, with that slow tempo. Where did the inspiration for that one came?
Our guitar player, Volker Trost, he doesn't write a lot, but every time he comes up with something, it's, like, really cool. And this song was, when he first played me this song, I was in Germany, he was playing his acoustic, and he was kind of, don't you think it's too simple? Or he was kind of, even kind of like shy about it. And I'm like, dude, it's a beautiful tune. Beautiful tune.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm not much of a ballad guy. It's like if I listen to 10 ballads, I'm not into 9 of them. But when I really get involved with a ballad, I just go head over heels about it. And Free was a perfect case of that. I love the song. It was one of my favorites, actually.
Nice. And We Are Legion is another high point. And I know it's an older song which you re-recorded, right?
Yeah. That's an interesting song because the vocal lines were written by Yori, the previous singer. And he's like really into the medieval thing and stuff. And he's a killer singer. So when I had the demo with his voice, I'm like, dude, I really want to honor what he did because his version the recording wasn't great, but the attitude, man, and the vocal lines were great. If you pay close attention to it, you notice that the vocal lines are a little bit busier than the rest of the songs. Uh-huh. He has many different parts with different nuances, and it's one of the vocals I really like on the record. That's a great song, a bit like Old Manowar, man.
Yeah.
I love the Old Manowar records. Old Manowar was unbelievable. Honest to God, I've seen Halford, and I've seen Dio, and I've seen Bruce Dickinson, and I've seen Jeff Tate. I've seen all the great ones live, and to me, it's not that Manowar is my favorite band, but when that guy was like on top of his game, I think he was maybe the greatest metal voice I ever seen live. He was incredible. So much power, so much attitude. It was great.
We saw them together in 1998. Sir. Jesus Christ,
Monsters of Rock. I actually had seen them on the Louder Than Hell tour.
Oh,
which
okay.
was the previous one.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, actually, this Manowar gig we went together, it was like
unbelievable.
it was really cool. But after that, they lost me.
Yeah. It's like, they went down
I'm
here.
Not into what they yeah. did after that.
Yeah. So back to the album. One of the older songs that I discovered in this album was Wasted Years. And I found out there's a video made for the song back in 2013.
Yes.
That's a really cool one, too.
It was on my first album with a band. I like the song. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
I like the song. I like the video. Maybe that's my favorite video.
Yeah, it's really well done.
We shot that in a giant stable in Germany, man. And I guess I've never seen such huge horses.
Cool.
It was nice experience.
Right. And I think with this release, you're officially the vocalist who's been on most albums of Human Fortress. And you're sort of becoming the face of the band a little bit, right?
I guess it's funny because it's the band. I've done albums with a bunch of bands, but I think that I've never done four albums with any band before. So mm-hmm. I'm excited for that. And it's really cool that, I think Yori was on, I don't know. I don't even know if it was three albums.
Yeah.
The music is great. I love it. But the guys, man, these guys are just, it's funny because I've been on bands where, you know, you don't get along that great with your fellow bandmates and I don't know. And these guys are just the greatest people. And I have a blast working with them like every time.
Good to hear, man. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, well, we come from an age where you had one band and that was it. And then came the age of side projects and whatnot. And a few years back, it was like, oh, this is my main band. And I have this or that side project. And now it's a bit of a mix. Everyone does like 10, 15 bands. Yeah. So what else are you working on?
I have mixed emotions about it, actually. Mm. As you know, I'm a big music fan and I like different kinds of music. So I like having my finger on many pies,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yeah. I like doing some popular stuff, some hard rock, some melodic AOR stuff, some heavier stuff. I like singing. This is the great side of it because I'm always recording. I'm always involved in cool things. But at the same time, talking from a working musician standpoint, it's something that you need to do because it's really hard when you have one band these days, unless it's like a really big band, to make a decent living out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah. Well, even Steve Harris has a side project, so there you go.
Yeah, but his side project has different motivations. Come on.
I know.
You got my point.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you've been doing some collab videos during the quarantine. You did a few Van Halen tracks, some Rush.
Yeah.
The most recent one is Somebody Get Me a Doctor, which sounded great.
Eddie, it was my favorite ever musician. I managed to do a bunch of Van Halen tunes, and I'm still bummed over that, man. That and Neil Peart the same year, man, that was just like, come on.
It was brutal, yeah.
And crazy. You know, something weird happened because the day Neil Peart died, one of my hashtags was Eddie Van Halen because I was like, dude, Neil Peart is one of my music heroes, like my drum god. And can you imagine the day that Eddie's not going to be here, man? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was like I put one hashtag was Pelé and the other hashtag was Eddie Van Halen. Because I just wanted to point that. Come on, man. Guy Neil was like the greatest of all time.
That puts it in perspective for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so losing Eddie after, I know that was not your question, but
no.
your question was about the quarantine, the amount of music I've done. Yeah. I only see positives in that because I got to collaborate with a bunch of musicians that either I hadn't played with in a long time or musicians I hadn't played with at all before, or actually, because normally I was playing every weekend with cover projects and my own bands, and so you always have those projects. Man, I would love to do a Glenn Hughes song, or a Richie Kotzen song, or a Jellyfish song, you know, which are some of my favorites. But you're always working on something that you're supposed to play, to rehearse like in a week, or to play in a gig. So you're, it's not the tunes that you're always working on. So I had some time to do that. And I took on a lot of projects that were things I was postponing for years, like studying Pro Tools and studying piano. And this is changing the whole planet. We just have to hope that we're going to come out of it, you know, stronger than we entered, or better than we entered. That was the positive thing, you know. That was a big positive, doing a lot of great music with great people.
And I like how you make those covers your own. I mean, there's no point in trying to imitate someone like Glenn Hughes or Sammy Hagar, right? You did it. You did your own thing.
Yeah, or Freddie Mercury, or I don't know, or Michael Jackson. I've tackled all these guys before. And come on, these guys are so unique, and they're such geniuses. At the same time, I've been singing for like 30 years. So it's like I've got my personality, I've got my thing. So it's, of course, normally I try to work on singers that have influenced me, and that, you know, they live here and they're part of my DNA. But I really try to put my stamp on it.
Yeah, that's the way to go, man.
I always think, I agree. Yeah. I think
so. And when I met you, I think you were already singing. It might have been right when you started. How was the process to, you know, stop guitar, or not stop guitar because you still play, but move from guitar to singing and like finding your voice and knowing, realizing you can sing?
Yeah, it's because I was playing the guitar and I was writing songs. And when I was writing songs, of course, I had a voice on my mind that sang those melodies. And I became a singer out of necessity, out of not finding a singer that would fit the stuff that I was doing. And actually took me many years, many. Some guys are just natural singers, natural born singers. And to me, I think it was long at first, because to be honest, I was not into the idea, man. I was kind of bummed. I was singing because I had to.
Okay.
But over the years, I started, you know, really falling in love with it. And nowadays, man, it's like I can really, really tell you I'm a singer. And many people don't even know that, you know, I play the guitar, or that I write songs, or that I produce. Most people know me as a singer. And, you know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I have a question about Prog Power, because a lot of our listeners are Prog Power attendees or fans. What was it like to sing at that festival, man?
Wow, that was incredible. That was a great experience. I met so many great people. I still have some friendships that, you know, started at Prog Power, and I met so many great people. And that was a bit insane, because that was my actually second gig with Adagio, and I was in the band for like less than a month. I was really thrown, you know,
to the lions.
Yeah. It was good for what it was. You know, Adagio was a great school for me. I'm just upset that I didn't have a chance to really go there again and do Prog Power again, because that would be like a dream come true and such a huge moment in my life.
Yeah.
I'm like three times the singer I was. So it's like, I really wish I could go back, you know, more experienced and everything.
Yeah.
It would be great. It would be great.
Maybe now with Human Fortress, man. You know, fingers crossed. That might happen. Yeah.
Who knows? And the funny thing is, the same year I played Prog Power in Atlanta, I played Prog Power in Holland. We opened for Devin Townsend. It was
cool.
Another awesome experience. Devin, and he was a nice guy.
Yeah, so, I heard he's pretty nice. Yeah,
pretty nice guy.
Musically, I think he's one of those guys that, you know, I don't get him yet, but it's one of those things that I know when I get it, it's going to be like mind-blowing experience because it's so complex.
I'm really into some of his older albums. It was funny. When I met him, I bought Ocean Machine, his album, when I played Prague Power in Atlanta. And when I played Prague Power, Europe was a couple of weeks later. I told him that's the only CD I bought on that trip. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to buy, but that's the one that I really had to get because it's a special album. And he was really glad about it. And it was I had a good time with him.
Last question for me. What's this I hear about you building a studio at home? What's the plan for that? Yeah.
That's an old dream. I mean, I've been wanting to do this for ages. And with the pandemic, my brother, he works with advertising, and he's a really great musician. He plays a bunch of instruments, and he started playing with gigs with me back when he was 14. Mm-hmm. And now he's 31. He's a young guy, but he's got like mileage.
Yeah, he's 31 already.
31 already, man.
Jesus Christ, we're old.
Yeah. Because I'm sure you remember him like as a teen.
I remember his tape. The tape that he did had Rata Mahata from Sepultura and Hakuna Matata, Lion King.
Oh man, he was super young. He was not even a He liked that. And and the thing is, with the pandemic, the house is kind of big here. So he left his apartment during the pandemic. We're both in the same house. Mm-hmm. He's on home office mode, but it's like home studio because he's producing everything here. It was a great convergence. If I was here, I wouldn't go for the studio. And if he was alone, I'm not sure he was going to go for it. And we're building something really cool, like super high ceiling, to track great sounding drums. And we're working on that. We're like halfway through it. And I hope that by June or July, it's going to be done.
Thank you so much for the interview, man. I wish all the best for this Human Fortress album. I hope I can see you sometime soon on stage or otherwise, right?
That would be great. That would be great, man. It's always great catching up with you, man. We don't live as close anymore, but, we're close to the heart anyway, so.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. We'll be in touch, yeah?
Send my regards to your family, brother. And thanks to everyone who's been listening here at Sonic Perspectives.
Okay, everyone, thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this interview with Gus Monsanto. The interview is available on many formats, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Also, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Let's wrap it up with the song The Grimoire from Human Fortress' new album, Epic Tales and Untold Stories. Stay safe and rock on!
Secrets from hell for my legacy. See, it's mine, a magical pact to challenge the demons of wrath. I define my arch nemesis right under a sentence of death. Attention to me, whisper. the spell. Line by line.